At this point, it's safe to assume that second quarter earnings season may never, ever end. Miles, it has been a heck of a week for earnings. They just keep coming. But let's start with Shake Shack here. One thing that stood out to me in this report, and you're seeing the shares under a little bit of pressure here in the early going, same Shack sales, yep, up 52.7%.
Favorite metric in the game.
Favorite metric. So for them, that is always a very key number. Essentially, it's a same store sales metric, measures sales from stores open longer than a year. That is good to see. Also, Shake Shack highlighting a return of strong levels of indoor dining. That is good. And also, they got a lot of questions on the earnings call last night on how they are retaining workers in this tight labor market here. Mm-hmm. They're just paying out spot bonuses, they said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Shake Shack's been an interesting story because it was sort of right at the leading edge, the stock price itself, right at the leading edge of bullishness around reopening. Stock peaked at a record high back in February, and it has sort of languished over the last few months, peaked around $120 per share or so. We see it trading closer to 90 today. And I'm reminded of what Steve Sosnick just told us, this idea, you know, for the sports inclined will be familiar, the idea of outkicking your coverage here from the analyst community or from businesses, really, outkicking where the analysts had them. I mean, 52% growth in same Shack sales. You sort of look at what has happened with this stock year to date, and it's clear that was the baseline expectation, Brian, for where the company was going to be going.
And now they're pushing more into drive-thrus. But overall, look, we have gotten some very good results from big fast food. Shake Shack, McDonald's, restaurant brands, Wendy's, I suspect, when they report next week, that will probably be a good quarter as well. Yum Brands, mm-hmm, Domino's Pizza, Papa John's, all good quarters. So despite people been ordering a lot of food during the pandemic via delivery, they're still out there buying fast food.
And just the final thing on Shake Shack as a way to, and it's always interesting to say, what does Company X serve as a proxy for? I would argue that Shake Shack basically is a proxy for what is the health of the average American city, or rather a large American metro, right? New York City, of the home of Shake Shack. And I think what we've seen there is a peak in optimism around where cities would be, right now, back in February. And since then, there's been, certainly New York is doing okay, but maybe a little bit lagging where it seemed at one point in maybe February or March that we would be in the fall of 2021, into the fall of 2021.
Well, I know since we're back in the office, our producer, Val Caval, just bought some nuggets this week, so I know she was very excited about those Shake Shack nuggets.
They sous vide the nuggets.
They're great. They're a good purchase.
They're okay.
But staying on food, Beyond Meat, it has been a top trending ticker on the Yahoo Finance platform all morning long. Stock under pressure here in the pre-market. And I think this reflects probably maybe two things. One, U.S. retail sales down 14.3% for Beyond Meat in the most recent quarter. And two, not that Ethan Brown, the founder and CEO of Beyond Meat, not that he didn't sound confident on the company coming out on the other side of the pandemic on the earnings call last night. It was really his comments on the competitive environment. You know, he said they are holding market share, but it is no secret that Impossible and many other players in this space are now aggressively discounting in the retail sector.
I mean, they're not harder than market share, though. The last 4 weeks, they've lost 55 basis points of market share. Mm-hmm. Now, over the last quarter, they gained 10 basis points, which I guess would qualify as holding market share. But, I mean, this chart from the presentation on page 11, the two charts, you see Beyond Meat velocity growth, which I guess is sell-through, basically. Is that
basically
how they? Yeah. Velocity growth down 36% over the last 4 weeks, and market share is down 55 basis points. So you have the competitive pressures, and then you also have the question, do people want to specifically eat Beyond Meat regardless of what's happening in the category?
Yeah. Well, now, on the positive side here for the company, their food service business, again, that is them selling to big restaurants, those sales were up 269.4% year over year as those restaurants have started to reopen. Mm-hmm. They have started to gain new business. I believe they're now Panda Express as well. But again, more questions on the conference call and when something bigger might be happening with McDonald's. Unclear on when that may happen. But unfortunately for them, they just lost Dunkin' Brands.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, they came into that Dunkin' Brands with a new sausage sandwich. That's been pulled from the menu.
And what, the company's got a market value of $9 billion, something like $7.5 billion right now. Being in a Panda Express, is that enough for a $7.5 billion valuation, being in Panda Express?
Panda Express having is
good. Panda Express is amazing.
Really
it's great.
Good.
But,
it's
like,
good.
Having one of the slots the $7 billion slot in the run-through Panda Express. I'm way oversimplifying this, and they'll be upset with this comment. I'm just saying.
I will push back. They are gaining large amounts of distribution overseas. Their distribution overseas, I believe, increased by 5,000 stores, or up 21% in the most recent quarter. So it's no longer just a U.S. play for Beyond Meat. There is an international component here.
Another question I have for them, and again, these are data that Beyond Meat pulled out to highlight. 7.8% of their most recent fiscal year revenue spent on R&D, and they compare it to Nestle, Kellogg, Conagra, these others who are spending. Nestle's spending almost 2%, which is by far the most of their peers. Hormel spends just 0.3% of their revenue on R&D.
Because they have spam.
But is it good that you're spending like multiples more than the industry on your R&D? It's basically saying our margins are structurally worse than the companies that we think we can compete with.
I know where you might go with this one, but they view themselves as a tech company.
Well, they say
company.
It. Right. They say innovation is at the core
of
our company.
They are constantly innovating these burgers. They're not out there slaughtering cattle and just pumping it through some machines. I mean, they have to constantly innovate these products.
I get it. It's innovation.
It is innovation.
It's money losing as well.
Okay.
They're saying it. Well, they're saying they will lose money. They cannot make money with this kind of R&D level spend.
Okay.
Relative to the industry.
Right, one company
let's
that
move
is
on.
Not
let's move on. Let's
one
move on.
Company that is not losing money for change is Carvana. The Carvana quarter last night was very, very impressive. And I put out a tweet this morning here just showing how far the company has come. They sold 107,000 units in the most recent quarter. In 5 years ago, they sold 18,000 units the entire year. So online car buying is certainly picking up in large part because of the pandemic. But nonetheless, that is a large amount of cars through the door, and they earned a 3.4% adjusted EBITDA margin. That is good. But again, I think you do want to see a little more margin here for Carvana, especially when you sell 107,000 plus cars.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, you look at Carvana, what they're trying to do, right, is essentially normalize a category. So at least from their vantage point, especially when you're turning a profit on the bottom line, you just continue to keep it as we just talked about velocity with Beyond Meat. It's a velocity story. Mm-hmm. How many people are going to Carvana to buy cars versus how many people had been going to Carvana to buy cars? And, you know, they continue to see retail units sold up 96% last year. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be, now, granted, stock's gone up like 1,000,000%, so there's a lot priced into this, but... I think overall that's essentially the very simplified version of the story here for Carvana.
It has been this stock has been absolutely explosive this year, and what they're looking at for the full year, break even, Miles.
Break even. Well, they just turned a profit in their most recent quarter. Stock's up 8%.
One company not making any money.
Over the last 5 years, stock went from 20 to 340.
Massive. Huge.
There you go.
One company that's not making any money, it's Virgin Galactic. They came out with the price for their trips, but they won't be making any money anytime soon. And they didn't.
We had a great discussion in our meeting this morning about Virgin Galactic, comparing it to which airline it was going to be in the space race. Budget option, $450,000?
Yeah, 430. Affordable.
It was at 430 or 450? I don't remember.
450.
450 for a seat. I know you have that kind of money.
I don't, and if I did, I'm not sure I would be using it to fly to space. Maybe
you use it to trade Robinhood options.
Trade Robinhood or donate it to help Mother Earth, but I don't know about $450,000 here for a trip there to space.
There you go. $32 a share. So the stock has stabilized, I think, is the main part of that story.
Hit us with some DraftKings.
Yeah, DraftKings. They had an interesting conversation on their call or in their presentation about the NFT market and the role that that has played, the marketplace part of their business. They had revenue within the NFT marketplace of $382 million.
Wow.
Or not revenue, but it generated $382 million in transaction volume, of which they then get a cut. It was $3 million in the second quarter of 2020. And $3 million in the second quarter of 2020 seems high to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there were NFTs in the second quarter of 2020. The stock here, again, we can see beating on the top line. Company with a narrower than expected loss. And DraftKings breaking that down on the adjusted loss side. Most of that, stock-based comp is as likely to see with a growth company like this. Stock is up 5% as we really ramp into the football season here, which I keep bringing up because I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and one company, and I didn't realize this, and we'll talk to Gannett later. They are now in sports betting.
Everyone's in sports betting.
Yeah.
Yahoo's in sports betting.
Yeah, it's it is definitely an interesting time to be in that space.
Who isn't in sports betting?
I'm not.
JP Morgan's not in sports betting?
No, maybe he's not.
Maybe next?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe next.
Break that news.
Financials. XLF is now a sports betting play. Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah. Oh, okay.